Thank you very much for that very nice, warm welcome. And much younger, not so much wiser maybe, but very beautiful to walk together for many, many years doing the kingdom work together. And to have a brother who is in it, and we've been together in everything for so many years, our families together. And so that is a huge thing. It's great to be with you this morning, and we'll be heading back to Ethiopia in about a week. And so this is kind of our wrapping up time for this time. We'll be back again before too long, as usual. But it's just exciting to know what God is doing in your life and see what God is calling you into. I want to go to this passage of scripture in Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. And it's the story of Joseph's life. And you've been talking about it over the last weeks and learning elements and things, lessons from that amazing story of God working with Joseph. And so we'll continue that concept this morning and just learning amazing principles and lessons and spiritual lessons. And I always think when we're looking into the Word, it's like you said this morning, it's feasting on the bread of heaven. Jesus is the living Word, and the Word of God is the Word of God. And Jesus, one of his names is the Word, and the other is the written Word. So as you learn and study and let God breathe his Word into your spirit and life, it's feasting on a heavenly bread. It shapes every aspect of our life. And so when I think of Joseph's life, there's so many lessons for me to learn to apply and live and change if I'm on a different track or whatever it takes. And the Word of God, as you know, is to teach us and to shape us and to rebuke us and correct us and train us in righteousness. And so I pray God will help us this morning as we look at the Word of God, and especially in this case, Joseph's experience and his brothers, and learn and change and grow and walk with God. So from Genesis chapter 50, verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." Now, these brothers were connivers, by the way, and I think they're maybe still at it here. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave us this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you." So they're, I think, again, you can think it over, but I think they're still at their game of trying to, you know, "Joseph, your dad said before he died." And Joseph probably could have said, "Well, if he said that, he probably would have said it to me." But okay. And it goes on. These brothers, and we'll talk about the brothers a little bit too. I know you've already seen some things in their world. So say to Joseph, "Please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him, and his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive, as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." And here's an amazing concept. Joseph, who had been so abused by these brothers to the point of life and death, and it says, "Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." The amazing power that God gives us when we walk with him, it's his empowering spirit and grace that you can live your life, walk with him. Lots of things happen meant for evil. And I could spend the whole morning just sharing a few of the things, the attacks meant for evil. And they are evil and they're meant for evil. But for the one walking with God, close to God, doing God's will, like Joseph and many others in Scripture and many of us wanting to do that, God just deals with things. And so we'll look at all of that this morning and just some of the most beautiful things that God will do in our lives and through our lives and as we walk with him. But there's a challenge to it, and there's some requirement of faith and obedience and walking with him and feasting on his word and letting it shape and change us. As just a prelude to it, it's not what I'm really going for this morning, but just to set the stage. For Joseph, it seemed like a very difficult, unfortunate thing happening to him, and it was, and we know the story. But God always has the long view in mind. And the other thing I want to start with, just as a prelude to it, is we need to learn and understand, and I believe Joseph did through his walk, the presence of God. And, you know, I've had people say, yeah, well, the presence of God, I mean, you know, God is omnipresent, means he's everywhere all the time, so we have his presence. But there's another element of his presence that is taught by Moses back in the Old Testament when God was sending them towards where they were going, and Moses said, if you don't go with us, in fact, God said to him, I'm sending you, and I'll send my angel ahead of you, but I'm not going. And Moses said, if you're not going, please don't send us. And then a little bit farther down, God said, okay, Moses, you have found favor. I know you by name. And you say, well, what do you mean? God knows everybody's name. It's a different knowing you by name. And it's a different kind of presence than just the general presence. And I always think of it like the presence, kind of like, the Bible says this, in fact, it's you have his face. You have his attention. Not just he's present, but he's focused on you. And I always think of mothers with small children, and you know, the little one is, the mother's busy with something, the little one's, mom, 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 and she's still talking, mom, 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 and then finally, what? Then the little one has your face, your attention, and that's what this is talking about, his presence, his attention, his face, his favor on what you are doing and what you're going through. He's with you in it. And that we see in Joseph's life all the time. God is with him. And that's what makes it beautiful. Think of Daniel. You know, it didn't matter. Kingdoms rose, kingdoms fell. He's in the lion's den or he's somewhere else. God's presence is there. His attention, his focus is on you. And that's not automatic. It's not general omnipresence. It's you have found favor, Moses, or Joseph, you have pleased God and your heart is right and you're walking with him for his purpose. And the New Testament carries on saying something the same. So I want to just look this morning at some of those observations that we can learn from. And I could share personal testimonies and what's going on in our world and maybe touch on some of that as we go, but as illustration. But it's his presence that makes everything else good. Makes everything else work. And, you know, going back and thinking of Jesus when he said, you know, if two or three are gathered together in my name and come into agreement, and I'm not preaching on this either, so I don't want to get deep in it, but it's talking about people in spiritual unity with God and with each other. That's what he's talking about, not just coming into the room. And my presence will be there. And it's my presence that makes everything else work. Like, I think of our team in Ethiopia, we meet together and there's unity, there's heart, there's passion together. God's presence is there. Jesus said, I am there. And it's the I am there of Jesus that opens everything and makes everything else work. So learning from Joseph some very significant principles to help us walk with God. If it needs to change our thinking, then change my thinking, Lord. If it needs to rebuke me, then Lord, rebuke me. So some of these observations. One, God has the long view in mind. Like, this really is a long view, and you've probably thought of it already, but just to remember, Joseph said, you know, God, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. So when Joseph is being thrown into a pit by some miserable brothers, that's bad. It's ugly, it's evil, and he's fearing for his life or whatever. Then they take him, and the story goes on. But God is seeing a really long picture there, not just to save Joseph's life or to become the ruler of Egypt, not even just to save the nation or the family, Jacob's family, but a longer view than that, because through Jacob, the families came and into Egypt, the nation developed, they go on their way to the promised land eventually, become the 12 tribes of Israel. Out of that comes the word of God that we enjoy every day, reading, and the bread of heaven, the word of God, the entire Old Testament comes through that. Then comes Jesus himself from, as Paul says in the New Testament, from them came the Savior, and the Savior of the world. So what Joseph is doing here and what God is actually has in mind is me coming to know Jesus somewhere down the road. Because of that, I can respond to the Savior and walk with the living God. So whatever's going on in Joseph's life may seem pretty tragic at the moment, but it's not, because God is in it. And God has the long view in mind. And, you know, I think of Ethiopia. I'm there, and we're seeing amazing stuff happening. We have been for these years. But it started way long time ago with an Ethiopian in the book of Acts meets up with Philip and receives Christ, goes back to Ethiopia and plants the gospel in Ethiopia 2,000 years ago. And what's happening now is directly related to that. God has always got a big picture. What's he doing in my life? What's he doing through your life? And that's where we want to stay in tune with him and be doing what he's asking us to do, not just living our life and live for the long view or the big picture. Another thing I see it just observation-wise is Jacob. Just before this passage, Jacob thinks he's lost Joseph. He thinks Benjamin is now going to be held prisoner or killed, and he'll lose his other son from his first, or his one wife, whatever. And he says these words, "All these things are against me." This is back before he realizes Joseph is in Egypt and so on. The brothers are back and they want the son to come. And he's, Jacob, all these things are against me. Doesn't know all these things, Jacob, are actually really for you. You're going to reunite with the son you thought you lost. The family's going to be saved from the famine. And you as servant of God to become the nation of Israel is going to happen through this. So it's not against you. And I can tell you, and you need to be very aware, whatever you're going through now, if you're walking with God, if you're the brothers, and by the way, these were brothers, not Philistines, not Moabites, not Canaanites, brothers, Jews, they would become the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they're doing this kind of rubbish. We need to be aware that there's brothers, maybe some sisters sometimes, who are also engaged in doing evil, even though they're walking, you know, they're born again or they're saved or whatever, but they're doing stuff that's not good. And you say, no, that can't be true. I've never seen anything in the church that was not beautiful. Okay, you only walked in the door today for the first time. And I'm not talking about this church, like George said, no. But the church. And if you've walked with God for some years, a lot of stuff happens. And often it's the brothers, not just the old devil out there or the guy in the bar, but the brothers. And so in this case, brothers and Josephs are in the church. So don't let, what I'm saying by that is, don't be one of the brothers, for one thing, of that kind of brother. But don't, just because somebody in the church hurts you doesn't mean leave the church, unless you want to leave God's program behind and go and feel sorry for yourself and cry the blues the rest of your life. There is stuff happens. And these were brothers, and probably we won't face anything quite as drastic as this. But I can tell you, and we were talking to students this week at the college about, because they were asking questions about what happened in, you know, we were sharing some examples in Zambia or Ethiopia of people who really attacked. And the attack was designed to finish you off either in prison or dead or out of the country. And in the church, one of the things I'm thinking about in Zambia, one of the guys, big guy in the church, connected big with the government, and they had an agenda, and we said no, and they attacked. And so I know what we're talking about. There's stuff happens. and you stand through it, and God opens the next door to the next thing, or you turn and turn back and get bitter or whatever, or leave. And you know, that guy, I remember basically telling us, if you don't leave the, like, if you're not going to do what I'm telling you to do, and I'm not, I told him, absolutely, then you better leave the country tonight, because by tomorrow you'll be in prison. And I'm like, and this guy had connections, it wasn't just some little crazy man. And I'm like, okay. That night we had a little bit of sleeplessness. But we said, you know, I always remember the old song, I'll be right here when the morning comes. I'll be right here because I ain't going to run. Bad old song, but I just remember thinking, no, we're not going anywhere. And the next day, nothing happened. The next day, nothing happened. We started to relax more. And then we heard the guy who was leading it got really, really sick. And I'm like, okay, that's good. And he never recovered. He died. And I'm like, okay, that's still good. And the politician that he was connected with was sent to the most remote part of Zambia to be a whatever, in the worst position you could be in the government. And we never heard anything about it again. But the door opened to the next phase of what God was calling us to. So I understand, and that's, you know, those are some of the big things that'll happen in your life, but there's little ones all the way along too that God challenges you and tests you with. And so the brothers might be the ones plotting against you. There'll always be something going on if you're walking with God. And these brothers were driven, it said, by jealousy and selfish ambition. And James says to you and to me, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, and he's talking to us, the believers, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Imagine the brothers, and it's demonic. And where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So I've seen vile things in church, and this is vile. These brothers, what they did to Joseph, deeply vile, demonic, wanting to kill him, and then easing up and letting him go as a prisoner. And so we want to be very, very careful about our own walk with God, that we don't let bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, which are natural to us unless we deal with them, don't let them be the motivators. Let God's word and God's way and God's spirit and God's kindness and let be motivated by that. And it takes some time sometimes. It's not easy. Another observation I get is our faith needs to be challenged and tested, and it will be. And, you know, I'll share a little about it, but we're not going to grow unless it's tested and we're challenged by it. Like, there's a process of growth. We're not just like Joseph all of a sudden to forgive these guys who did all this nastiness to him. He walked it out through life. He grew and learned and moved forward. And it's a process of growth. And if we're not growing in our walk with God, in our knowledge of the Word of God, and letting His Word breathe its life into our life so that we are becoming like Christ, then we will be like the brothers. Maybe not killing anybody or wanting to, maybe even, but nasty. And we don't want that. In my own life, I don't want that. And at times, I'm tempted in those directions like anybody else, but I don't want it. So James says, count it joy when you meet various kinds of trouble, because you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Joseph was tested and tested and put through, but God's presence was with him stage after stage. And he grew and he became more and more open to walking with God until finally you could see he could forgive these guys, not just forgive them, but speak kindly to them, take care of them, all that happened. So let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. I want that. I don't want to just stumble along as a half-baked Christian. I want to be perfect. And you say, well, you're not. And I say, I know, but I want to be. That's the goal, and God calls us to it, and he walks with us in it, and he tests our faith. And like Peter said, you may suffer for a little while if necessary, being grieved by trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. Tested. Don't be discouraged when you're tested. In fact, rejoice. It just is. Another illustration comes to my mind. When we first went to Zambia, and things were tough there in some ways, and we would have guests come from Canada. And I remember they would, be there for a few days or weeks, and then we would drive them to the airport. And as they're getting out of the car going to the airplane, they're looking back at us thinking, oh man, you poor guys, you got to stay here. Like, they're just feeling sorry for you because of this and that. I'm like, I'm sorry for you, actually, if you understood what's going on here because of the presence of God, the blessing. Go through the trials, yes, the tests, yes, but with the presence of God. And if we don't learn anything from Joseph, in the middle of those deepest, hardest tests, the presence of God was there. In prison, the presence of God. I would rather be Joseph in prison with the presence of God, fulfilling God's purpose, than these useless brothers. And if you go a little farther in the story, or maybe just before this, Jacob gives his prophetic word over each of the brothers, including Joseph. And I just had to laugh when it came to Joseph. He's a fruitful bough, and he goes on through this whole list of beautiful things that he prophesies about Joseph. And then he says, Benjamin is a ravening wolf. That's all he's got to say for Benjamin. I'll take Joseph and his blessing and his walk with God. There's a growth through it, though. It takes time. And I want to just quickly, this is you can look at it yourself anytime, but the process of growth that the New Testament lays out for us, if we'll walk with God through it, and it tells us what happens if we won't and where we end up then. Not lost, but just missing out on all the beauty of God's presence and God's fruitfulness on your life, bearing fruit, seeing the beauty of that. And it starts with, Peter says, 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies crave spiritual milk, so they grow up in your salvation. It starts as a baby with milk. Then he says, move on to solid food. Hebrews 5:13 to 6:1, anyone who lives on milk is still an infant, not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So there's a process. You go from baby food to harder food or solid food and grow up in him, Ephesians 4. Reach maturity in Christ, Hebrews 6. And then finally, Ephesians 4, attaining to the whole measure of Christ. So there's a progression of spiritual growth, and it's the testing of our faith. It's the process that we go through with God's presence with us through it. And every evil thing aimed at you as you're doing that, as you're walking with God and faithful, is meant for good. It just is. And I, we could tell you, and you could tell me, stories and examples over and over of the faithfulness of God in that truth. Another observation, God meant it for good for Joseph, who walked with God, who trusted God, and who stayed faithful through the challenges. God meant it for good. When I see this, what we read this morning in the text about Joseph speaking kindly to them and saying, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good, and just his heart is seen in that, it makes me think of his whole life built him towards that moment, his calling, his dreams, his sharing the dreams, his life with his father as his father's favorite in his many colored coat, and then in the pit, and the whole story, he's moving somewhere. It's being tested. And I love what the Bible says about him in other places. Psalm 105 17 says, his feet were hurt with fetters, talking about Joseph. His neck was put in a collar of iron until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. And, you know, if you go back in the story of the brothers when they were throwing him in the pit, I love one of the words, one of the phrases they said. I don't love it for what it is, but they said, then we'll see what happens to his dreams. We did see what happened to his dreams. And we saw what happened to them for their lack of spiritual health. Acts 7:9 said God rescued him and gave him favor and wisdom. So as he's going through these things, God rescues him and gives him favor, and he's growing in wisdom and understanding of God and his walk with God and his focus. And then he comes to this stage where he is, you know, think about this. He has the full opportunity, all the power to revenge on these brothers. Instead, he turns it around, speaks kindly, comforts them, and lifts them up. That's not just a moment. Like, this was a process of life, a process of growth. And when I think back to our own walk, we went to Merrithorpe, the town not far from here, and we drove out there together and stayed in the back of this nasty little shack. Nobody, like, people would think, why are you doing that? But what we learned in that little, that was like Sunday school, prepared us for Zambia.
Right.
And Zambia was like middle school, preparing us for Ethiopia. And it, like, that's been a beautiful, but I can tell you, time. And I think what God is doing in our world, in Ethiopia, is preparing us for an even harder challenge, Canada. And I'm not joking, I am, but I'm not. So Joseph went through all these processes. And Romans 8:28, we know it. It's kind of the natural connection to God meant it for good, even though they meant it for evil, where it says the Spirit, starting with verse 26, likewise, and I want to just highlight this because it's really important, then I'll move quickly, but likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit intercedes for us according to God's long view. This is preparing for something maybe 1,000 years away. And I just love that, because then after that it says that we know that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his, who love him and are called according to his purpose. So the Spirit will pray into that if we're praying in the Spirit. Now, I don't know how Joseph prayed and how much in the Spirit he prayed, but I kind of smiled to myself thinking if Joseph was praying in his mind when his brothers were attacking him, he would probably pray, God, deliver me from these evil guys and get me back to my father who loves me. But if he was praying in the Spirit, which I don't know if he was in the Old Testament Spirit, but the Spirit would be praying something along the lines of, don't let them kill me, but put me in a pit. And then raise me from the pit to go into slavery in Egypt, in Potiphar's house, but be with me there. Raise me up to rule Potiphar's house. Then have some sleazy gal come and accuse me, and I'll resist it, and because I resist it, I'll be put in prison. And then in prison, help me have your favor and rise up in the prison and learn how to function in a lot of areas of leadership. And then have a couple guys come with dreams, and I'll interpret them. And that will be my doorway to get to be ruler of Egypt, which is the doorway to bring my family into Egypt to save them, which is the doorway to the development of the whole nation of Israel, which is the doorway to the Word of God coming forth, which is the doorway to Jesus coming and the Savior of the world. That's what the Spirit was praying while Joseph is saying, help! Get me out of here! And that's how If we pray in the Spirit, we'll be praying the will of God for our walk with God and for God's big purpose to unfold. And everything in that, for my love for God and God's purpose, works for good, not just feels good. And we know that. Number six, they were evil, but God is good. And I just say simply, you doing evil doesn't mean God's going to turn that to good. You will pay for evil you do. And the brothers would pay, they would have to be accountable for their evil. Evil is not good, and doing evil is not okay. Say, well, God will turn it to good. No, they were evil, and they would be held accountable. I don't have time this morning, but you know it, and you can look at it. All the New Testament verses that talk about reaping what we sow, that talk about reward for faithfulness, for obedience, standing at the judgment seat of Christ, we will all stand there to give account for what was done while in the body. The one that stands out most to me is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he talks about building on the foundation is Christ, but how you build on it, wood, hay, or straw, or gold, silver, precious stones, what are you building with? If you're building with evil and jealousy and bitterness and stuff like that, you're saved. He said it's on the foundation, but you're building with the wrong material. And at the end of that verse, it says they will suffer loss. So we go to meet Jesus and suffer loss, not loss of your salvation, but all that could have been, you could have done, that God would have done, would have been for you and your family, and you lost it. You missed it. And I think of Mordecai with Esther, and he said, for this reason, you've come here, Esther. And she's, but yeah, but I could die. And he said, for this reason, you're here. And if you don't do it, God will raise someone else, but you and your family will miss out. I want to be at the center of all of that that God has. And I know there's a price tag on it. And we've walked through some of it. There's probably some lying around the corner. But I want that. God's long-term purpose will be fulfilled. The question is, what part do I have in it? Right. What part do I, am I the brothers who he will use my evil for good, but I will suffer the loss? Or be like Joseph and he'll use me for the good, and the good will be for me and for God's purpose, and we'll walk it out together. That's where you want to live. But many get caught up on the other side of it for whatever reasons, and you need to think that through. So the message to learn from Joseph is to walk with God, to love God and live for his purpose, which is way outside of any thinking you might have. His purpose is bigger, wider, longer, but you want it. And in the process, you're blessed. In the process, you learn the beauty of the presence of God. You have his face all the time, walking with him. That wherever it takes you, you don't want to miss that. The progression of growth, when things look bad, they're not. And I could tell you many interesting and good stories about that. One little simple one I can't avoid. This is still while we're in Sunday school in Merrithorpe. And the town had one, we needed a plot to build our church. The thing was a disaster. We're ready to build, but there was no plots open in the town for church, and there was one that I learned about. I wrote a letter applying for it. A couple of days later, I got a visit from the Baptist pastor in town, and he said, we went to apply for this lot, but they told us you had already written an application. But before you wrote your application, we asked for it verbally. And when we went to the town said, you guys worked this out yourselves. So they came to me, him and his board, and I'm, did you really? Yeah. I said, okay, we will withdraw our application and give it to you. And they, you will? Yes. I wrote a letter to the town, please cancel our application and we request you to give it to the Baptist. Now that sounds pretty sweet, eh? But it was hard because I'm thinking, now we don't have a place, and that was the beautiful place. And a few days later, the town council invited me to the meeting. They said, thank you for, we did not want a church fight in town. And those two churches, the Baptist and the Pentecostics, were, Pentecostals, were, the Baptist was a split off of that church, so they knew all about the fighting in churches. And I was sitting in the meeting, yeah, you know, that's nice, thank you. And then they said, but we have a whole new area of town we're opening. There's a, here's the blueprint for a whole new area of the town that we're developing. And it was towards the highway and all the housing. And they said, because you've done that, pick where you want it. And I'm looking at the map. I'll have these three lots. They said, done. We had to buy them. But they allocated that for church. And the Marathorpe Church is sitting on that lot right now. It looks bad, but it's good. Do what's right, and God opens the next door. Like, it just is. And it goes on and on and on and on in your life as you walk with God over the years. So when people try to undermine you, they can't. It might look like they can. The brothers felt pretty confident that they were clever. And I'm sure they thought, we'll go back now to Dad and I'll get the many-colored coat. No, you won't. There's a progression of faith, and a faithfulness brings its own reward, and doing wrong brings its own reward. So we have to choose. So what's our response? You will face many things. The Word of God speaking to us right now this morning, as you said, that's, we need to feast on the bread of heaven. The bread of heaven is the Word of God. Let it speak. I love, you know, teaching on the Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. It's, the Bible says all Scripture is breathed out by God. And it means it's His breath into the Word of God. And the Word of God by the Spirit breathes life into me if I will allow it. If I just keep it here, then I don't know. But if we will allow it, it breathes life. It changes our course. It sets a new course for our life. We need to obey it and walk it and listen to it every morning as you're reading it, every time you come together and study it. Let it speak its life and change us and walk with us. And, you know, I've shared the one in Marathorpe in Zambia, in Ethiopia, many more and harder ones that literally, like, too much. I remember one of them where the guy, again, you're going to prison. And the false accusation, all said, like a whole story. And we're like, well, you do whatever you have to do, because by now I'd learned. I'm not changing nothing. I'll be right here when the morning comes. But it isn't by courage, like physical, natural courage. I'm not naturally courageous, but it's by the grace that God gives you in the heat of the battle that you can stand, and He teaches you and trains you through the years and through experience. And one thing is building foundation for the other. And if we're walking with Him, but we have to walk with Him, we have to obey, we have to follow and respond. Let me pray. I've said this many times, but this church, it's a beautiful church. It's not just to be another church in Edmonton. It is that, and it's one of the many good things God's doing in the city and the country. But I think it's more. It was planted for more, for a special purpose, and that God will do real stuff through you and your life and through the church and through the collective work, like stuff that you haven't seen yet, that God is preparing for. And I believe that, and I pray for that. Father, thank you for this church and for everyone in it. And I pray that you will speak your word through the power of the Holy Spirit into every heart and life that's listening. And whatever questions are bouncing around in our minds or in our hearts, whatever challenges we're facing that we know we have to change, God, help us to make the change, to step into obedience and faith and walk with you in ways that you're calling us into, and enjoy the fullness of your presence, to have your face turned towards us. Father, I pray that will be the testimony of this church, that your face is towards them, your presence Your favor is upon it to accomplish things in Edmonton, but in Canada and beyond to the corners of the world. From this place to the nations, Lord, your favor, your blessing, your anointing, your grace, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. And God bless you and thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Just as we close out with